Proverbs chapter 12, and I want us to look at verse number 4. This week, as I was reading in my devotions, I came across this verse, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Not new to me, but the Lord spoke to my heart as I was studying it. And it says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." As I began to focus on that verse and ask the Lord for a principle that would help me from that verse, the word that stuck out in my mind is the word virtuous. Virtuous. That word virtuous literally means to be strong or strengthened. It's one who has strength. But it doesn't specify what kind of strength. It's not talking about a muscle man necessarily. I suppose it perhaps could refer to muscle strength in some cases. But for the most part, as I looked it through the Bible, I found it's translated many different ways in our Bible. It's translated as valiant. It's translated as wealth, substance, valor, worthy, strength, power, host, might, army, riches. Same word, translated in all these different ways. And as I begin to evaluate the meaning of that word and think about what does it mean to be virtuous? What does it mean to be virtuous? It's dealing with really an exceptional character. It's dealing with character qualities. It's dealing with that which makes us a person that is pleasing to God. So he's dealing primarily, I believe, with exceptional character. Now, in this verse, it's addressing women, and it says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. If a woman has this special character, qualities that please the Lord and honor Him, then it will be a blessing to her husband. But you know, the word is not just isolated to women. Okay? If it was just women that were to be virtuous, then I would preach just to you ladies this morning and us men could sit and listen. But it's not the case. In fact, throughout the Bible, we find that many men were of godly character. They had this aspect of virtue or character in their life. Let me give you some examples. Men like Job. Job was a man of character. He spent great hours praying for his children and walking in a God-fearing way and living for the Lord. And then he went through all those trials in life, and through that he learned some things about God. But Job was a man of character. Another one that comes to my mind is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of my Bible heroes. I like Jeremiah. He was a man who preached for 40 years to the nation of Judah and Benjamin, and they didn't listen to him. They wouldn't listen to his preaching. He kept saying, God's going to send judgment, but they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't turn from it. And Jeremiah stayed faithful and strong in the midst of persecution, in the midst of times in prison, and in the times in the dungeon, sunk in the mire. Jeremiah was just a man of character. Another man of character was Daniel. Daniel, taken to Babylon as a slave. His parents were probably executed before he left his homeland of Israel. Taken to Babylon, he was made a eunuch, and now he's a eunuch as a young teenager in Babylon. And he could have very easily said, well, what's the use of serving God now? What did God do to me? Look what God did for me. Left me here as a eunuch in the land of Babylon as a slave. Ah, curse God and I'll die. And I'm not. But he didn't do that. Daniel was a man of character. Daniel was a man who said he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor the wine which he drank. And Daniel was a man who was blessed of God because of his character. In the latter years of Daniel's life, when he was an old man, he was put to the test as to whether he would spend time with God in prayer. And we know in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10 that Daniel determined in his heart that he was going to pray, even though he knew that the king had commanded that if you pray, you're going to go to the den of lions. Daniel said, that's all right. If that's what God wants, He'll take care of me in the den of lions, or I'll be food for the lions, but I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to keep on praying. He was a man of character, a man who determined to do right no matter what. He was a man of character. We find another of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men of character. These men were told by the king that you better bow down and worship the idol that I have set up. If you don't bow down and worship the idol I set up, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace, and nobody can endure the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before the king and said, O king, we are not going to bow down to your God because we worship the true God of heaven. And the king was furious. Heats the fire seven times hotter than it had ever been heated before. It was so hot that when the king's soldiers threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, just getting them close enough to throw them into the fire killed the soldiers. They dropped dead from heat. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the middle of the fire, and God protected them. Now, God did a miracle for them, but they were determined whether God saved them or they died, that they were going to do what's right. They were men of character. They were not going to change their ways. They were going to do what was right. We find another example is Nehemiah. Nehemiah is another man of character. A man who was a prisoner and a slave in Babylon, and he had become the king's cupbearer. And he came before the king one day and he asked the king for permission to be able to go back to Jerusalem and to be able to rebuild the wall. And he faced all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, but Nehemiah was a man of character that stood up to opposition and said, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to keep on doing what God's told me to do, we're going to do what's right. So, character is something that is very important. But you know, in our world today, character has become a rare gem. Character among adults is greatly lacking. Among our youth and children, character is almost extinct. Sadly, this is true not just among unbelievers, but also among professing Christians. And this is a subject that the Lord just burdened my heart with. We've got to rescue our children. We've got to help our children develop character. Character in their lives. And it's going to take work. It's going to take determination. It's going to take time. Just by way of illustration, I brought along one of my little paintings. And this little painting was not a painting that I just, you know, just took and flicked some paint at the little board and said, I'll have a bird. It didn't work that way. I didn't just kind of close my eyes and kind of, you know, I'm not that kind of an artist. Right? I couldn't do that. It took time. It took planning. Because I'm not a very skillful artist, I sketched it all out in pencil first. And then I very carefully followed the picture that I had, looking at the picture back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, every brush stroke, making sure it's very carefully chosen and choosing the colors just right. It took time. It took patience. It took effort. It took a lot of work and energy to be able to do it. That's the same thing that's going to happen with character. See, character isn't an accident. Character isn't just something that, well, I hope my kids turn out with character. If that's all you're doing is hoping they're going to turn out with character, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. Character will be extinct in their life. It takes work. It takes diligence. It takes planning. It takes effort. It takes a lot of energy to be able to do that. It doesn't happen accidentally. It's going to take work. Now, if we do nothing to change this trend in our lives, and especially in the lives of our children, we will greatly harm our lives and our children, both now and in eternity. We've got to do something. We've got to rescue our children. Now, we can't do a whole lot about the people of the world. We can't really do much about the neighbor's kids. But we've got to start at home. Work with our families. Develop character in the lives of our children. And we're going to see that it really begins closer to home than that. We've got to develop character in our own lives to be able to share character with our children. So this morning, I want us to consider five ways that we can develop character in the lives of our children. Five ways that we need to do that. To develop character in the lives of our children, you must, first of all, understand character. You must understand character. If you don't know what you're after, you're never going to be able to succeed. I mean, that's the way it is with anything in life. If you're trying to do something, if you don't know what you're doing, even with this painting of mine, if I said, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to paint. I don't know whether I'll paint a bird or a cow or a dog or you know, a mountain. You got to, first of all, know what you're doing before you're going to be able to tackle the issue. So we must understand character. What is character? I'm going to give you several definitions here because it's kind of hard to just give one definition and say this is character. Character is moral excellence. It's moral excellence. Character is that moral excellence that comes from fearing God. See, one of the things that we need in our lives and the lives of our children is to help us to fear God. Where we say, I am going to do right because I don't want to upset God. I am fearful of God, but I respect God. It isn't so much that we tremble and dread that God's going to come along and smack us if we don't do it right, but it's that I love Him, I respect Him, I honor God, and I don't want in any way, shape, or form to dishonor Him. I need to be very careful. So, character is moral excellence. Character is doing everything to the glory of God. Everything that we do in life, to the glory of God. So that every time I open my mouth, it's for the glory of God. The places I go, glorify God. The things that I do, glorify God. The things I look at, glorify God. The things that I think about, glorify God. Everything in my life, character is doing everything to the glory of God. Character is also the determination to do right even when I don't feel like it. There's a lot of times that we don't feel like doing right. Let's be honest. You know, we don't feel like making the right choice. And it covers a lot of areas of life. From down to the real basics of, do I eat the healthy food or do I eat the junk food? You know, a lot of times the junk food tastes better, smells better, and looks better, but it's not nearly as good for us. Character makes a choice. But it's also in the bigger decisions in life. You know, what am I going to do when I'm posed with that opportunity for an advancement, but I'm going to have to cheat a little bit to do that? Character will make the choice. Determining to do right even when I don't feel like it. That's character. Character is also a consistent, voluntary habit that comes from the heart and persists even when no one is watching. It is a consistent. I put the word consistent in there because it's something that is, character is that pattern in our life that is consistent no matter what happens. It's consistent. It's a habit. It's something we do always. It's our regular habit. Now, even with a habit, it doesn't mean that sometimes a person with character doesn't step out of line once in a while. We find people in the Bible that were people that had character, but once in a while, they would trip and fall. But when they tripped and fell, what did they do? They were a person of character. They got back up, they confessed their sin, they got right with God, and they kept going. See, there's character there. The people without character, when they fall on their face, they say, oh, forget it. Might as well live for the devil because I can't do it. No, they give up. The person with character keeps going. So it is a consistent, voluntary. It's not something we can force on you. You know, I can't come to you and grab you and say, listen, you've got to have character. I can't do that. You've got to have a desire in your heart where you say, I want character. Now, you know, that's one of the things when we're trying to develop character in our children, somehow we got to develop a want to. That's the hard part. We got to develop a want to in their heart where they want to do right. They want to please God. They want to do what is acceptable to the Lord. They want to obey us. They want to honor God. Developing that want to is not easy. It takes time. It takes a lot of those brush strokes. You got to focus on it. You got to spend time with it. It's going to take a lot of work. So it's a consistent, voluntary habit that comes from the heart. See, it's got to come from the heart. You know, when we're faced with an issue, you know, you especially men, you know, you turn on the television or you're on the internet searching for something, all of a sudden something comes up that you think, uh-oh, that wasn't what I was expecting. What do I do now? That's not a very good thing to look at. You know, our flesh says, a little bit won't hurt. God says, turn away, get rid of it. All right? What are we going to do? Character comes from the heart and says, I want more to please God than I want to please my flesh. I want more to do what is right than to do what my flesh wants. And we turn away and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to think about that. And so that it is a consistent, voluntary habit that comes from the heart and persists even when no one is watching. See, that's the big key. You know, some people are pretty good about their character when everybody's watching. They come to church, put on a smile, everybody thinks, oh, boy, there's a good Christian. And then they get home and they live like the devil all week. But when they get around Christians again, they put on their Christian smile and everything's fine. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a consistent habit that comes from the heart that persists even when no one else is looking. So we say, I don't care whether anybody knows, I'm going to keep on doing what's right. I'm going to read my Bible whether anybody knows about it or not. I'm going to keep on doing right, even though nobody might, I might never get a reward for this. Or nobody will ever find out that I did this. Or I'm not going to look at that even though no one's home, no one's around, no one would ever find out. If I looked at that picture on the internet, nobody will know. But I'm going to do what's right. Because it's the right thing to do. Because that involves character. I like what one person defined it. He says that a person of character is the sum of his or her disposition, thoughts, intentions, desires, and actions. It is good to remember that character is gauged by general tendencies, not on the basis of a few isolated actions. All right, as I mentioned a moment ago, there are some people in the Bible, and all of us have done this, where we may be going along fine and we trip and we do something we shouldn't do and it's out of our character. All right? But when that happens, they get back up and they get going right in the right direction again and they get away from that thing and they don't persist in it. And so our character is our consistent habit, not an accident once in a while that determines our character. So, character determines what you will think and what you will do when no one else is watching. Character. So we need to have that definitions down in our mind. We need to know what we're looking at, what we're aiming at, what we're preparing for. What is character? Then you need to make a list of character qualities. You know, I've gone on the internet and just typed in character qualities or list of character qualities. Folks, there are scores of them. Some people have lists that are like 60 long of character qualities. And that's fine. I think that's good. We need to have, but you know, I think we need to narrow it down to some basic ones so we don't become overwhelmed and think, I could never teach my kids all those 60 things. So, forget it. No, we need to narrow it down. Here's some basic ones that are real, I think are kind of at the top of the list. Things like obedience, kindness, honesty, forgiving others, godly, contentment, self-control, being helpful, unselfish, hard worker, calm when irritated, good manners, keeping a good attitude when disappointed. You know, this is just a few. But I challenge you to make out a list of qualities that you need in your life and in the lives of your children that you really want them to develop. It's very important. We need to ask ourselves, do these qualities, even these few that I've mentioned here, do they describe you? Do they describe the lives of your children? You know, one of the thoughts that's gone through my mind, especially in the light of the text verse we're looking at here this morning, is, as a parent, if you've got children that are still under your umbrella, if right now, with the character that they have right now, if they maintain that same character they have right now until the day they're married, what kind of a spouse will they be in marriage? You know, if they have a problem with selfishness right now, they're going to be selfish then. If they have a problem with being lazy, they're going to be lazy then. If they're not helpful now, they're not going to be helpful then. If they got bad manners now, they're going to have bad manners then. I mean, things aren't going to happen all of a sudden, just suddenly they're just, no, they're an adult, they'll behave themselves. No, they're still a big kid. And they still have the same character qualities. We've got to instill those character qualities in them. Why did Daniel, as a young teenager, stand before the authorities in Babylon and say that I will not eat of the king's meat? Put me to death if you want to, but I will not eat of the king's meat and the wine that he drinks. Why did Daniel do that? Because he was taught character as a young lad. And he was determined in his heart, it doesn't matter what they do to me, I am not going to defile my God. I'm going to do what's right. Now that was something he learned as a child. Now see, all I'm saying here is this is the laying the foundation. We need to understand what character is, and we've got to have a passion in our heart where we say, that's what I want in my life, and that's what I want in the lives of my children, and I'm going to do anything and everything I must do to be able to see to it that that will take place. And we dare not think that somehow some magic wand is going to happen, and when they turn, 20 or 22 and they're thinking about marriage, that suddenly they're going to be, they're going to be full of character. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's character is developed from their youth up. And we've got a part in that. So let's work at that. Now, the first thing that we must do is to understand character. And number two, we must live character. The greatest teaching tool that you have is your example. Whether you are a good or a bad character, your example is consistently and constantly teaching your children. That's one of those things that, as parents, we don't like that. You know one of the things that I learned? My boys always picked up my bad characteristics quicker than they picked up my good ones. They always do. And that means we've got to work three times as hard to develop good character qualities in our own lives and to get rid of the bad ones, because the kids are going to learn the bad ones before they learn the good ones. But our example is always before them. They're always watching us. And living consistent life of godly character takes work and discipline on our part. It takes work and discipline to live a consistent, godly life of good character. It's going to take work. And it's got to start with us. You know, I read, as I was studying over this and preparing, I read a testimony of a young teacher. This young teacher, she was trying to teach her year two students what it means to have character. And she said, students, it's like this. She said, it's like having a garden. And you plant in your garden, you can plant good seeds. And if you plant good seeds, you'll get good crops that come up. And if you plant bad seeds or weed seeds, you're going to get weeds that come up in your garden. And that's like it is with character. You plant bad things in your life and bad things are going to come up. You plant good things in your life and good things are going to come up. Well, that afternoon, as she was on her way home from school, she was running late and she went faster than she was supposed to. And sure enough, the lights and the siren behind her pulled her over, policeman pulls her over, and she gets a ticket for going too fast. Well, it just so happens that one of her students saw it. The next day in class, that student had told all the other students, and when Miss Teacher came into class, it said, Miss Teacher, you planted bad seeds. Miss Teacher, you planted bad seeds. What could she say? They were right. See, children watch us. They see us. You know, sometimes we think, oh, they're too young. They don't understand. They understand a lot more than we give them credit for. And we need to be very, very careful. Example speaks louder than our words. You know, it is hopeless to live a selfish life and then try to teach your children to be unselfish. Hopeless. It's counterproductive to give your children $1 for the Lord's offering and give them $20 to go to the sporting event. Kids aren't dumb. They know that $20 is a whole lot more than $1. They put two and two together. They can see that. It's hopeless to get angry and argue with your spouse and then try to teach your children to be kind. Not going to work. It is not going to work. The only way to teach character effectively to our children is to back up what we say with a life of character. And will we fail? Yes. We will fail at times. But when we do, you got a choice. And the only choice that will help you to build character in your children is to call your children together and say, children, I failed. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? If you won't do that, you will not develop good character in their lives. Because they'll respect you for being honest and saying, I was wrong, please forgive me. But if you don't confront them and say, I was wrong, please forgive me, pray for me that I will change so that I won't have that bad character in my life. If you will not do that, you will not teach them character because they won't listen to you. We've got to be willing to be able to humble ourselves and ask forgiveness when we've done wrong. Live character. So first of all, we saw that we have to understand character. Number two, we got to live character. Number three, we need to teach character. Teaching character, first of all, in our home life. You know, begin teaching character when they're very young. Don't wait. I mean, some parents think, well, when they get to be teenagers, they'll start. You wait till they're teenagers, you've lost the battle. You've got to start when they're little. Very little. Teach them right and wrong. Teach them good character. Teach them good habits. Teach them good qualities. And teach character during the meal times. Wonderful time to sit around as a family, around the table, and talk about things. Talk about qualities. And they don't even need to necessarily know. I know, kids, we're going to talk about the quality of being honest. You don't have to do that. But you can talk about honesty. You can talk about something that happened that someone was dishonest, and you can show them why dishonesty was wrong and how that's going to hurt them. You can weave it into your conversation. But we need to teach them character qualities, and mealtime is a great time. Give them jobs and see that they do them with a proper attitude. You know, doing unpleasant jobs, all of us know that there are some jobs that are just not very nice. But somebody's got to do them. You know, some of those jobs, I can think of jobs around our place that I to be honest, I'd rather not do them again, ever. But they got to be done. So you got to do them. And a person of character just says, well, got to be done, I'll do it. And the children need to learn to do those kind of unpleasant jobs cheerfully, with the right attitude, without a complaint, because it needs to be done. It's part of character. Build them up. Jobs are great helps around the family and in the home. And to teach your children to handle failure and disappointments with a godly attitude. Boy, that's such a tragic thing today. You know, something goes wrong. I didn't get what I wanted. And they throw a fit. That's terrible character. What we need to do is we need to be able to have the character that will say, all right, I failed, or I had a disappointment, or something didn't go my way, or I didn't do well on that test, or I failed in that area, but I'm going to take it like a man, or I'm going to take it like a woman, I'm going to do what's right, and press on and work harder next time. And not get mad, not get, you know, blow our stack or do something. We've got to teach them to be able to handle failure and disappointments with a good attitude. Another thing you can do is read books together, good Christian books together as a family. Read them together. And as you're reading, point out the good qualities. And if you come across something where somebody does something that wasn't quite right, point that out as well. And say, listen, what this guy did here, well, that wasn't very good, was it? No, that wasn't a good thing at all. You know, but here's the right thing to do. And teach them quality, teach them character through reading together. Another thing you can do that can be a great help to your children is to take them witnessing with you. Go and talk to somebody about the Lord and take your children with you. Let them see you tell somebody else about Christ. That'll do them a world of good. It'll help you as well. It's good to have their companionship. But it's also good for their character to see dad or mom telling somebody else about Jesus, passing out tracts, being a testimony for Christ. Say, oh, Pastor, that's too hard. No, that's what God wants us to do all the time. And if we're going to teach our children character, let them see it in our lives. So teach it in our home life, but also teach it in your family Bible time. Sing those godly choruses with a family. Study the Bible together and pray together. Get on your knees. It does a family a whole lot of good to just get on your knees around the sofa or wherever you have your family Bible time and pray for the needs of the church or pray for your missionaries or pray for your family. But pray together as a family. That is very important for building character in their lives. Memorize scripture together as a family is a great way to build character in their lives. They say, oh, it's hard to memorize it. Come on, we can do it. Let's all work together. I'm having a hard time with it too. Let's work together and let's get this verse down. And what's the verse mean? Why does God want us to learn this? And work through it with them. But help them. Teach character to your family. Number four. To develop character in the lives of your children, you must expect character. You've got to expect it. Reinforce it. The things you teach. You know, explaining the character qualities that you're working on will be a big help to the children. You know, so, all right, we're going to work today on learning to be helpful. Okay, what do we mean by helpful? And explain it to them. Sometimes even the very basic things kids don't understand. So make sure they understand. Make sure they know what we're talking about, what we're aiming at, and just explain it to them and work with them on it and help them. And most of all, help them to see how God wants this in our life. It isn't just that mom and dad have all these rules. Got to do it because dad said so. No, it's what does God want? This we're learning to be honest because this is what God wants. We're learning to be content with what we have because God tells us to be content. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4 or 5 in there, it talks about be content with what things that you have. We're to be content. Talk about contentment. What does it mean to be content? How can we be content? What is discontent? You talk about these things, explain them, work through it, and help them. Another thing, some families develop character charts. You got a chart on the wall. Little kids especially like the charts, you know. And we're working on, you know, you see, so you have the different divisions here. There's honesty and helpfulness and, you know, whatever your qualities you're working on. All right? Doesn't mean there's the only things you're working on, but you got, you know, 5 or 6 of them. And then each day, all right, Johnny, did you do, yep, you get a check on that one. You did good on that one today. Oh, you didn't do good on this one here. You failed though. And you, that little chart, it'll help them to see how they're progressing. And it'll be an encouragement to them. That's another thing you can do to expect it. Regular evaluation of their character is important. You know, the old saying, you need to inspect what you expect. It's true. And it's true with our children. Evaluate. Every now and then it'd be good for you as a couple to just sit down and have your, you know, your sheet of qualities you're working on. You really should have a sheet, you know, of 10, 15, 20, 25 qualities that you're really trying to work on developing in your lives and in the lives of your children. And then you just go down to them, some quiet time, kids are in bed, the two of you sit down and talk about it. All right, how are we doing? How do you think, you know, the number one's doing on this one here? Or and number two, what, you know, what do you think about them? You know, how are they doing? We got to work on that one. What can we do to try to help them in that area? They're struggling with that area. And go down through that together and work together as a couple to try to evaluate and to find ways of helping them. Now, another thing that's very important about expecting character is don't overlook bad character. This is a tough one. But absolute essential. Do not overlook bad character. What do I mean by that? All right? Something happens and the kid blows his top, stomps off, mad, and nobody says anything. What have you just taught that child? That's perfectly acceptable. We can't overlook it. Every time. Now this is the hard part. Consistency is a killer for parents. This is the area where I had the most trouble in my parenting years, is consistency. Because the boys would always be bad at the most inconvenient times. Right? And being consistent is hard. But we've got to stop the child every time they fail a character quality and say, wait a minute, that's not the right way to handle that. That's not the right way to respond. Do it again the right way. Now, they'll fuss and fume and won't want to do that, but that's part of character building. Make them do it right the right way. Do it again the right way. And every time you've got to stop it because practice makes perfect. You know, there's that old saying, practice makes perfect. So if we practice doing it the wrong way, what's going to happen? They're going to keep on doing it the wrong way and that's going to become a habit. But if every time we stop them when they start doing it the wrong way, stop them and say, whoa, hang on. Nope, that's not the way to respond. That's not the right character quality. Nope, that's it. All right, let's do it the right way. And you make them do it the right way, then we're reinforcing what is right instead of what is wrong. It's important. It's hard. It's a killer for us as parents, but it's absolutely important. It really, really is. And so far we've looked at the first four. First one, we need to understand character. Number two, you need to live character. Number three, you need to teach character. Number four, we need to expect character. And number five, we need to praise character. We need to praise character. Praising character is very important and it needs to be done regularly. We usually see the faults much quicker than we see their qualities. You know, as I look back on the years when our boys were with us, I could spot their faults just like that. But spot their qualities, I'd have to stop and think. Does that mean they just didn't have qualities? No, they did, but I wasn't paying attention to that. I was looking for the bad things. But we need to look for the good things. Look for their qualities. And when they do something right and they respond in a right way, we need to praise them for the right thing that they've done. They've responded with the character qualities they need. So we need to watch those character qualities and praise them. This is very important as it emphasizes the importance of these qualities. Now let me give you a few examples just to get your ticker going in the right direction. Okay? Thank you for helping with the dishes without being asked. God will bless you for that. Just a little comment, but it'll mean something to those children. Another one. I noticed that you kept a good attitude when you got knocked down in the game today. I'm proud of you for that. Another one. God was pleased when you were kind to your brother this morning. Or another one might be, I noticed that you let others go first today. That pleases the Lord. See, but look for little ways, just little comments, that maybe just passing comments, but there are comments that are encouragement. And they say, Dad noticed. Well, I'm going to work harder at that. Because I know Dad noticed, and that pleases me. I'm glad that Dad noticed that, though. And we need to worry. So praising them is very important. Now, we also need to praise character above talent. Praising character encourages Christ-likeness. Character is the way God wants us to do things. And so when we praise character, we're praising Christ-likeness. Playing fair and with a good attitude is far, far more important than winning the game. Far more important. We need to praise character. Praising talent promotes pride. Now, I'm not saying we should never say to our child, well, you did a good job at the game today. I'm not saying we should never do that, but we need to make sure that that is a minimal compared to praising their character. For example, if you treat the child to ice cream because they won their game today, and you do and say nothing to them when they were honest and unselfish, you're teaching them that winning is far more important than character. I think that a lot of parents have gone way wrong in this area. It's not wrong to say, hey, you did a good job today. That's okay. But the character is far more important than winning. Character is far more important than success. Character is far more important than having someone think that we're great. Character is far more important than being pretty or beautiful or strong or handsome. Character is far more important than any of those things. And yet the world puts all the emphasis on that. You know, who's in the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the greatest and the biggest and the strongest and the most, you know. And who gets in the Hall of Fame, the Sports Hall of Fame and all these things? It's not the person that has character. It's not the person that says, no, I won't do that. It's not the person that says, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to go there. Today's Sunday. I go to church on Sunday. I'm not going to do that. It's not the person that says, no, I'm going to be honest. It's the person that is the hero, the person that cheats and steps on everybody else to climb the ladder, the person that's glamorized because of their beauty and yet their lives are full of wickedness and vileness and filth. They're the ones that are held up as famous and important. And if we're not careful, our children look at those as idols and think, that's what I want to be like. I want to be like so-and-so. She's beautiful. I want to be like him. Boy, he's handsome. I want to be like them because they always win their sports thing. And I want to be like it. Someday I want my name emblazed across the board here of the hero of this sport. That's not important. Character is important. Character is important. Now you think back with me with Daniel's life. I have no idea whether they played sports in Daniel's day or not. But let's say they did. Daniel is a young teenager, goes to school, and he's playing sports. And, you know, maybe Daniel was the hero of the team. Everybody looked at Daniel and said, boy, Daniel can play the game right. That's not what God emphasizes. We don't hear anything about that. All we hear about is that God said Daniel was a man who would not bend to the wishes of the world. Daniel was a man who would pray even when he was forbidden to pray. Daniel was a man of character. Character is far, far, far more important than talent and success and all the things of this life. Materialism and success in this life are not nearly as important. Now let me give you a closing example of this. At the judgment seat of Christ, Christ will reward service and character, not talent and success. When we stand before the King of Kings on that day, and He evaluates our service for Him in our life, He will be looking at what we've done for Him. He will be looking at the character in our life that makes us more Christ-like. He will not pay any attention at all to whether we were rich or famous or beautiful or talented. It makes no difference at all. And you know, the sad thing is that most of the people in our world that are rich and famous and popular and talented lack godly character. And they will regret it for all eternity. We don't want that in our children. We want our children to have character. We want our children to be honest. We want our children to be unselfish. We want our children to be Christ-like. We want our children to be men and women of integrity. We want them to be pure. We want them to be godly. We want them to be the kind that will make great husbands and wives someday. That's what we want. That's what we have to aim at. That's what we have to work at. It takes time. It takes effort. Just like my painting, it took time and effort and planning and carefulness and stroke. It will do the same for you. It takes time. It takes work. It takes effort. But you need to focus on it and say, God, help me. I want to do that. I want that to be true in my life. I want that to be true in my children's lives. And so my challenge this morning is, first of all, each of us, we need to look in the mirror and say, what kind of a character am I? What kind of character do I have? What is my life like? Really? And if we look in that mirror and we see things we don't like, or we see things that we don't want to see in our children, we've got to change. We've got to change. Because we're never going to be able to get our children to mold into that proper character quality if we're a bad example. We've got to be the right example. And so, this morning, we've looked at understanding character. We've talked about living character, teaching character, expecting character, and praising character. Each of us, I'm sure, want our children to be grow up to be people of godly character. It's not going to happen by accident. It takes work. It takes planning. It takes discipline. It takes determination. And now's the time to begin. Will you take the challenge this morning? Will you say, God helping me, I want to be the kind of a person that has character. And with God's help, I'm going to teach character to my children. If you'll do that, God will bless you. Every one of us can do that. Now, I know some of us, our children are long gone. But we have an influence maybe on grandchildren or in other ways, but we can still be a person of character. But if you've got children at home yet, it is vital that you work at building character in your life and in the lives of your children. And we can do it with God's help if we'll ask God to help us and determine to do what's right.